This is the 10-Minute Contrarian Podcast. This is VP. We are a solutions-based podcast diving into the world of contrarian investing and alternative finance. You can find us hosted on the No Nonsense Forex YouTube channel, nononsenseforex.com, and podcast players everywhere. Episode 144 is brought to us by Bybit, a very interesting promotion going on this week on the heels of OKX, delisting USDT for traders in the EU. If you are currently a trader in the EU, regardless of where you came from before, if you go deposit on Bybit right now by using my link, up to a $50,000 USDT deposit, you're going to get 1% cash back. This deal just came up. It just got sent to me via Telegram. I'm just going to copy paste it on the blog. And the blog just happens to be where your affiliate link is going to be. So I'm going to link you to that down below in the show notes. You can catch up on everything you need to know about Bybit and check out this new promotion and get yourself started and be eligible for every single promotion Bybit has coming down the pike. And oh, by the way, you can trade directly off of MT4 if you want to. I'm sure OKX is a fine place to trade, but if they're not going to allow you to do it, come on over. Because as all of my subscribers know, with Bybit, membership has its rewards. It is the 10-Minute Contrarian Podcast, and yes, we did have a large dip in the crypto market. How large? Quoting, the largest one-week dip of all time. Super scary, right? You know, it's funny, like most people listening to this podcast right now, we're OGs. We've been through many ups and many downs in the crypto market. This didn't even feel that big, but they're not lying. They're being very misleading and deceptive because that's what mainstream media does. That's where this quote came from. But on paper, it is, like dollar-wise, the largest one-week dip we've ever seen. Now, almost everybody here, you know, we understand, especially the Forex traders, we understand how percentages work. So we're not going to be fooled by things like this, but we aren't the people they were trying to fool. But more on that in a moment. I think it's interesting, though, because so many of these dips take a similar path, but they're all a bit different in every way. So to make sure we keep our psychology in order, to make sure we keep our HODL DCA strategy intact, because we know by far this is the best way to approach this market. If it's not obvious by now to you, it will never be. But I think every time we have one of these, especially when it is the largest of all time, like we need to kind of sit back and talk about it just to get a bit more clarity on why it happens. So when things like this happen in the future, we will be less likely to take drastic action where it does not need to be taken. Because a lot of times when these markets drop, we search for answers and reasons why, and sometimes we get those reasons from the wrong sources. And even when they're the correct sources, they're still wrong. So, all right, so let's do our best here on the 10-Minute Contrarian Podcast and just walk through it. So you saw me on Twitter say that there's no real catalyst for this move down. And I'm correct, there's not. The catalyst everybody was talking about, and it's plausible, but this isn't something new. This is something we've seen ever since the ETFs got launched, and that is Grayscale having to dump Bitcoin so they can transfer it over. I don't know the reasons why they do this. That's all above my pay grade. But I do know that when they were dumping before, you know, we got a really nice little discount. Maybe not discount, but you know, it bought us some more time to get in right before the big ETF mania move took hold. Because a lot of people thought it was going to be instant, and it wasn't. And the reason why it wasn't is because Grayscale was still dumping all of that Bitcoin they had on the books. So they could more or less transition from a mutual fund, which is pretty much what they were, into a valid ETF. And for some reason, they still need to dump more. Now, again, this is by far not something that would cause this big, spooky avalanche of price movement downward. But it did set a few things off. Now, before we attack the real reason, let's go over some fake reasons. Some people were saying it was just karma. And that, look, that's kind of plausible. You know, you have this new meme coin mania going on, making the entire industry look like it's run by a bunch of children. If you participated and you made some money, great, good for you. But you know, the only redeeming quality people were saying that meme coins did in the past was it brought in new people to the crypto space. That was actually not the case this time. We don't even have that going for us this time around. The chain analytics said this was mostly old wallets just trading back and forth with each other and putting dog whiff hat on the Las Vegas sphere. Like, the kind of over-the-top dumbassery we saw back during the very last top. And then you had Michael Saylor coming on CNBC, dropping a big bomb saying, if you know what we call people who hold fiat in this business, we call them poor. Which, he's technically not wrong. We know what happens when you just hold fiat over time. It does nothing but go down. But, you know, it's just optically, that's not what you want to hear, because that harkens back to the past top where everybody was saying, on Twitter at least, have fun staying poor. So some people would say we had this drop coming. Maybe they're not wrong, but it wasn't the reason. You guys remember last topping cycle, there were 500 reasons why that thing was a top, and it just kept going up. Like, we had, you know, you would go to a convention, it would be like wrapped Lambos with Bitcoin and crypto propaganda on them. You had almost all the tables at Miami nightclubs taken up by crypto bros. We had 20% returns on stablecoins, which I even said on here, get it while you can, but it's not going to be here much longer. And it wasn't. What else do we have? We had the PFP craze with NFTs, which I thought was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. You know, and you had hundreds and hundreds of more things, ridiculous things, just like that happening at the same time. Those things were not happening this time around. You know, two or three things were, but it wasn't as bad as it was before. Plus, we didn't have the undercurrent that we have of these ETFs and the ability to have institutional money come into Bitcoin for the first time ever. That's a really, really big thing. I'm actually going to speak more about this in a future episode. But if you think we pulled back like this because ridiculous things were happening, it does add up, but it's not the reason. So Grayscale starts to sell off more Bitcoin. And I think what started it, at least, was there were a lot of smart people in the industry saying, okay, if they're going to start doing this again, maybe this is a good time to take some profit and think about re-entering the market down the road. So that set price moving downward across the market for the most part. And then you probably had some of the meme coin traders saying, okay, this is probably it. We've had our fun. Let's go ahead and take profit too. You know, all these things happening at the same time is going to take the crypto market down 3 or 4%. Then what I think that does is, remember, you do have some new people in the market now that have not done this before, that are not used to the movements crypto has. And so they saw this, and I think some of them probably panic sold. As dumb as it sounds to even say, I think people got in for the first time and they're like, whoa, 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 wait, this market goes down this much in this quick of a time? It's like, well, yeah, it does, but they don't know this. They have no experience probably investing in anything, so maybe they panic sold too, and that's what just kept taking this thing down further. That's my best guess. There were probably some smaller things happening in between there that might have accounted for a little bit of the drop, but I think the most major aspects of it were what I just described. I could be wrong, but that's my take on it. And percentage-wise, so far, it really hasn't been anything. Now, we did have that recovery in the middle of the week, which was really interesting. So does everybody know why that happened? If you don't, Powell came out and suggested at 3 rate cuts happening for the year 2024. Now, anybody who's been paying attention at all for the last couple of years knows that when Powell makes a prediction like this or says anything forward-looking, it's always wrong. But even with something like this, even if we do see 3 rate cuts in 2024, it wouldn't be too surprising. It would actually, in my opinion, go right along with the prediction we've had on this show ever since the top of the year. You know, if we start dropping rates, I don't know, in a few months, and then slowly do it little by little, that's going to fit right with my prediction of them holding this whole thing up until the election's over. And then based on that Fed chart I gave you guys a while back, it would be the perfect time to hit a recession soon after that. It all lines up. But anyway, that's not how Wall Street treats it. And so pretty much everything that was not named the United States dollar popped up in the middle of this week, pretty heavy. You know, the stock market, gold, silver, crypto for sure. But then soon after, it came right back down again. And we're pretty much back to where we were. Now, how do we play something like this? Good question. I think that most of us, if you've been doing things the way I've been talking about doing them on this podcast, there's not really much to do know, this was a big move down, but percentage-wise, it really wasn't. This is just a natural pullback as far as we're concerned. But even me on Twitter, you know, there are a couple things I would still like to have more of. And you know how it goes over time. You start making a bit more dollars and you save a bit more. And you're like, man, do I want to have this money in dollars or do I want to put it into something that I know is going up? I know I bought a bunch of stuff in the past and now it's pretty much just watch it go up and take profit time, which is more or less the phase we're in, really. But if the market's going to give us a discount like this, you know, maybe we should take advantage of it. So this is weird. Like, I don't want us to think this all the time. You know, there might be a time in the future where I'm up here saying, or somebody up here saying is, and get ready for it because it's going to happen. Somebody's going to say, you know, Bitcoin right now is a smoking deal at 125K. You know, because it just dropped from like 140K to 125K. And that person is not going to be wrong as far as the overall future of Bitcoin goes, but wouldn't you rather have most of that Bitcoin and most of that crypto now as opposed to later? You know, so it's this back and forth conundrum. It's like, you know, what do I do? And I tweeted about this week saying, you know, I'm still looking at wanting to accumulate more Chainlink and more Polygon. You know, those to me are the two with the brightest future long term, you know, with the least amount of downside, which is the combination, as you all know, I really love and what I really look for. You know, I don't play around with this new shit that just came out of nowhere. You know, if you guys want to do that, that's fine. And I won't disparage you for it. You know, that's how you find the next Solana. You know, that's also how you find the next SafeMoon and the next Terra Luna. But that is also how you find the next Solana. So, yeah, you guys do what you're going to do. But as of right now, I'm so bullish on Chainlink and Matic that I will add on at higher prices than I've ever added on to. But if and only if it comes down and hits my levels. And it has not done that yet. And so I tweeted out, you know, I'm really struggling with this whole patience thing. Like, part of me wants to add on right now, but I also know that's not the right way to go. And I didn't phrase it like that, but I knew there were some people who saw that and was like, oh man, VP is really struggling with his psychology. No, I'm not really doing that. There's just a small part of me, and there always will be, that wants to pull the trigger right away. That doesn't mean I do that. You know, I didn't write a trading psychology book, and I don't have a successful trading psychology podcast because I lack discipline. You know, right or wrong, I'm trying to be an example for everybody else. And so, you know, price, even still, has not hit the levels I'm looking at. And when it does, I will put on a trailing buy, and I will likely announce it on Twitter, if not somewhere else. So if you don't follow me on Twitter and you would like to, there is always a link down below in the show notes. But as of yet, we're just not there. And we may never get there, and that's okay. I still got my moon bags packed. But since then, I've made a few extra dollars, and I would not mind deploying them back into the market. But if they remain dollars, then, you know, that's okay too. What they say about dollars continuing to lose its value over time, and that decline becoming accelerated because of all the dumb shit we've done recently, especially in 2020. All of that's correct, but I still say all the time on here, I think it's a good idea to have a lot of cash just in case things absolutely crash, because then that will put us in an advantageous position over most investors because we can come in with our cash, especially USD, if you can find a way to get your hands on some, and swoop in as the rich people do and buy things up on the cheap. You cannot do this and you cannot participate in this if you do not have a healthy amount of cash as well. So I'm happy with either outcome. And again, you may play this dip and this whole market however you want to, but I've made my stance very clear on how I'm playing it, and I do my best to walk the walk publicly as well. Because I think the majority of us here who listen to this podcast regularly, we're in a really, really great position simply because we're not dumb money. I just watched the movie Dumb Money this week and I live blogged it. Go check out the blog. Yeah, I really, really recommend every one of you watch that movie. You can buy it on YouTube or you can watch it for free, I think, on Netflix. And it just illustrates how dumb most new investors are. And the psychology they go through and the decisions they make are just so incorrect at every single turn. Dumb Money was about the GameStop short squeeze mania back in 2021. But you can correlate all of that to the crypto market as well. And I really do think, contrarians, just the simple fact that we are not them is going to bode so well for us in the future. It likely already has. But if you can just stay the course and not get tripped up during these market sell-offs, then your psychology and your willpower is just going to get stronger and stronger over time. And then when an actual, like, really bad crash happens, wherever it happens, you are not only not going to be in panic mode like everybody else is, you're going to be ready for it. You're going to be embracing it. And you're going to be taking advantage of it. Because when I watched the movie Dumb Money, and I already knew this, but I was constantly reminded of it, is the world doesn't see things the way we see them. And it's tough sometimes. But history has shown that people like us, if we stay the course, always come out on top. And history proves that we are not crazy, that we are just early.